Today's scripture reading is from Titus. And it's from Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, or 11 through 15. And it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one despise you." Let us pray. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. And may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. You know, before we start the message today, last week we talked and we went through Deuteronomy. And we talked about people having to choose to cross over. You see, getting to the Jordan and seeing the promised land is not enough. Getting to church and peering inside is not enough. You have to cross over. There's a physical and a spiritual crossing over that we all need. And God just has been talking to me this last week and said, just take a minute. Just take a minute. Each and every one of us, looking around from our youngest to our oldest, just take a minute. I mean, can we just take a minute to reflect on where we are? If you would just bow your heads, just close your eyes. You don't have to bow your heads, but close your eyes. Why? That takes away from any distractions that you may see. Would you just close your eyes? Just close your eyes and think of where you are.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Majesty, to be still and know that you're enough.
beautiful song. What a beautiful song that is. And it's okay as God's people to find ourselves in the midst of things and places and distractions. And a lot of times we look up and we find ourselves smack dab in the middle of life. From young married couples, recent college graduates, middle school and high school people, people that have lost a spouse through death, people that have lost a spouse through divorce. And I said last week, we're hurting people. We're hurting people. I said, we have to be able to get real and get honest with each other. And what I mean by that really is we have to come face to face. Really, I mean we have to get honest with ourselves. We have to get honest with ourselves. You see, we think we're the only ones going through this. I know my wife and I, when we first came to this church years ago, thought, Lordy, we must be the only ones struggling with our relationship. Yeah, exactly. See, we thought we were the only ones. And as we came to the church and got to know some people, we thought, oh, guess what? We're not the only ones because they're struggling with theirs and they're struggling with theirs. It's things we go through, but God helps us through these things. And I assure you, whatever you're going through depression, through anger, through whatever, loneliness, sadness, we're not the only ones. You see, Luke chapter 18, verse 27 says, the things which are impossible with men, these things are possible with God. Amen? What is impossible with men are possible with God. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12 again. And that's where we'll spend most of today. And we'll talk and continue on about crossing over to the Jordan. You see, they came to a point and they could see the promised land. But there was this river that they had to cross. You see, physically, we're sitting in the chairs and you could say, this is the promised land. You see, Jesus resides right here. And that's why so many times in churches they say, come forward if you want to know Jesus Christ. If you want to accept Him, you come forward. Because seeing the promised land just isn't enough. They want the physical act that you're going to put forth the effort to come to know Him. And when you come down and you meet Jesus Christ face to face, then you've crossed over. You've chosen to cross over. In case you didn't know it, Jesus does not reside only right here. Yeah. True story. He resides in your home. He resides in your bedroom. He resides in your car. He resides in your workplace. He resides in your school. He resides in your camp. You know, when we went to Falls Creek, I looked at a picture, and I think I mentioned this. We complained about a hot bus ride, and really, I say that, I'm speaking we generally, this group didn't complain. Oh, I'm sure they wish there was air conditioning, but they didn't complain. But people drove on horse and buggy to get to that place in the years that it started. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29. We're going to skip ahead a little bit. See, Jesus resides every place. And for clarification, we talked about, you will not worship these idols that they worshipped. The tree, the burnt offerings, the images. The mere fact that we have something doesn't make it an idol, though, for clarification. Because we have something or choose to celebrate something or do something does not mean it is an idol. I will be celebrating my son's birthday today. And I will give him gifts. Those are not idols. The party hat that I will make him wear is not an idol. Big John sombrero, this... No, I'm just kidding. Those things are not idols. When we worship them, they become idols. But the mere fact that we have something doesn't make it an idol. Verse 29 says, "When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself." Take heed to yourself. Now listen up. "That you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you. And that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, 'How did these nations serve these gods?' That will entangle us and ensnare us and entrap us quicker than anything." When we start asking questions and somebody talks, and they talk so forcefully and fast, and it's entertaining, and they ask you questions like, "Don't you agree? Don't you agree? Don't you agree?" You feel compelled to say, "Well, yes, well, yes, well, yes." "How did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise." Uh-oh, that's trouble. "You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it." We can talk about religion a lot of times. And a lot of times they've had things added to it and or taken away from it to suit their needs. And the Israelites, they're crossing over and they're going to the promised land. And Jesus said, or God says, "You will follow me. And I will be your sole source. And I will be your sole focus. And you will worship me. You will not be distracted by these things." And they had every good intention, as I have before. "I will worship God. I will get up. I will read my Bible. I will pray. I will do this. Oh my gosh, guess what happened? I woke up day two and life hit me. Oh my gosh, I'm late. Got to go." Didn't read, didn't pray, didn't do this, didn't do that. And life happens. All of a sudden you look up and you think, "What in the world?" "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it." See, that's still the same today. This is the Old Testament, but that's still the same today. He tells us throughout Scripture, "Observe what I have told you. Observe what I have given you." He says, "For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods." Jesus speaks in the New Testament about abominations. The things that offends him and defiles our body. Sexual immorality. Homosexuality. Those things, he says specifically, those are an abomination to me. And by me, I mean God. And they should be to ourselves as well. And he tells us, again, until you cross over, I can't give you safety. I can't give you these things. Let's go to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Let's find out how easy it is to cross over the Jordan. Let's find out how easy it is to get up front here to meet Jesus. Because that Jesus you guys are looking for, he's here. You can stop looking. He's here. You do not need to look in your bank account for him. Some of you may say, "If I look there, he doesn't exist." You do not need to look in the vehicle you drive for him. You do not need to look in the home that you have or live in for Him. You no longer need to look at the bottom of that bottle saying, I'm sure He's in there somewhere. I thought I saw Him up there as I had it tilted. In drugs, in smoking, in acceptance with groups of people. You don't need to look there for Him anymore. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. You know, let's just go up to 7. I can't read around that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, the part I want us to hear is verse 13 and 14. It says, enter the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few that find it. I don't know where you're trying to get into in reference to Jesus Christ. But that gate is narrow. That gate is narrow. And so many times we want to go down with in a wide group. Let me go with the group. They're doing this, they're doing that. Let me go with them. Young people. Look all over for our young people. Old people, don't be offended if I bypass you. Someone's trying to draw attention to their young selves, but it's not so. Young people, narrow is the way. You see, when you get in school and those people are pulling you to do certain things, well, that's the wide area that they're talking about. And you guys will have a choice to make. Will I enter the narrow gate? And sometimes there's a wait to get in that narrow gate. Or will I take the wide open, easy to get into gate? You see, it's no fun being alone. It's no fun being shunned at school. It's no fun being someone that may not be active in sports or music or choir. May not be a lot of people signing up for the chess team, but if that's your thing, go for it. You see, narrow is the way. And we want to be drawn in, and we want to be part of that, and we want to be part of the people that crossed over the Jordan. But you can't do that by dangling your feet in the water. You can't do it by having your feet stuck in the mud on the side, and you can't do it by walking up and down the shoreline. This is plain church. I'm walking in the water, and it feels refreshing to get my hot feet in the cold river. See, this is a Jordan. I've come to church every now and then. It made me feel good. Thank you, Lord. I feel better. I feel better, but we're just walking back and forth. And we think because we're refreshed and we're relieved and we feel good and we got something off our chest, we think there's safety and healing in that. And I hope there's some in that. But the healing comes and the safety comes and the security comes when we cross over. And we say, I'm making a commitment. I'm getting through that. There's no health in me wanting to run. at Falls Creek, I ran because I wanted to make a commitment. I haven't run since then, but I wanted to do something. You can't change by wanting to do something. Just can't do that. I want you to think about these questions over the next week. How will I show my commitment to Christ and this church? In this next week, how will I show my commitment to Christ and this church? It may be through your prayers. It may be through your presence. I'm talking about being here. It may be through your gifts, donations, financial items that are needed. It may be through service. And it may simply be by being a witness to somebody. You know, I mentioned we had several people over at our house for a little get-together for Austin on Friday. And I mentioned, we need to do Sunday school again. Yeah! Wow, that'd be great. Guess what we need before we can do that? We need teachers that are qualified. And by that I mean, they're not giving misinformation. But that's someplace we need to head. When we can take our young people and be excited about that, and we can take our older than young people and get them feeling that same excitement, that's fantastic. I got to tell you, I felt pretty young coming back from Falls Creek and running up here on stage and jumping up and down with a theme song to Rocky. I feel pretty good. And I get excited about church. I get excited when the Holy Spirit is moving in this place. And I get excited when someone's just quiet in the corner of us saying, man, that really touched me. And I went home and I thought about it. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. My desire is that we all find life. We find life in Jesus Christ. We know His Word. We can share His Word with others. I'm telling you, when you get a text at 12:30 in the morning, I need some help. We've got to be able to reach out with some help from God. Let me tell you, Adam can't help you, but God can. And He can use each and every one of us as a mouthpiece for Him and through Him. And our world needs that. I'm going to close here in prayer. And what I want to do is simply open up the front. Whatever you need, you don't have to share a sin from 50 years ago with me. God does tell you, you need to share it with me. You need to repent of that. And I just want to give you the opportunity to. You don't have to share with somebody. And Lord knows if you do share with somebody, it better be somebody you can trust. Needless to say, we all need to be people that our church can trust. Let's bow our heads. If our prayer partners and prayer warriors, if you feel called to come up and pray for people, would you come up at this time and just pray for those that may come? Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for this wonderful day You've given us. We thank You so much for the Word that You have given us to study, to learn, to know. And right now, Father God, we just want to open up the front. For Your Word says, narrow is the gate. Few are those that find it. But we want to open the gate towards healing today. Man, if you're hurting, rather than just sitting there and raising your hand, would you just come forward? And you don't have to be hurting. You may just have a prayer need for something in life. Would you just come give that up to our prayer partners, or just come over on the side and kneel by yourself and pray? Can we just go away today differently than we came in here? Changed people? Heavenly Father, just give these people boldness to do that. Yes, thank You. And we won't stretch this out forever. Certainly, if we have people up here praying, we'll end the service and let them pray. But, man, this is just giving you an opportunity. Some of you have been carrying things around for many years. It may be issues with your parents, your family. It may be resentment over a job from years ago that was lost. It may be over the death of a loved one. It may be addictions. Would you just feel free to come up and just allow us to pray just very quickly for you? Father, Your Word has various promises. And the one that we've studied and learned is that we have to cross over. We have to enter by the narrow way, and we have to cross over where You call us to. And we can't receive the things that You promise us until we do that. Until we are obedient people. And for those of us that have been distracted and lost some of that obedience, would You call us back to that? It could be the young families. It could be those that have been married for years, but just looked up and said, where did time go? Father God, we ask You just to look out after us this week. Allow us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. To be a light for You. And remind us, Lord, of how we will show our commitment to You and the church this week. Father, keep us safe and protect us this week as we go out. I ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.